All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
My name is Dr. Priyanka Wally. I'm a practicing medical doctor and a stand-up comedian.
And I am Sean Hayes. I am not a medical doctor, but I am an actor.
Sean, you're not just an actor. You're a hypochondriac-ter.
This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens is the health and wellness company that makes comprehensive daily nutrition simple. Simple pimple. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive, right? So AG1 by Athletic Greens, the category-leading superfood product, brings comprehensive and convenient daily nutrition to everybody. I've drank Athletic Greens and it's so good. It's delicious. I love psychologically knowing what's going in my body is healthy, good for me, while tasting great. I drink it all the time. I drink it before workouts. I drink it after workouts. It's so, so great. It's a great supplement. Keeping up with the research, knowing what to do, and taking a bunch of pills and capsules is hard on the stomach and hard to keep up with. One tasty scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, greens superfood blend, and more in one convenient daily serving. Join the movement of athletes, lifeleets, moms, dads, rookies, first-timers, and everyone in between taking ownership of their daily health and focusing on the nutritional products they really need in the simplest manner possible. That's essential nutrition. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/hypo today. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/hypo to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. Hi. Hello, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? So serious.
I'm doing really well. I actually wanted to tell you about something really interesting that I discovered.
Yes. Is this about the bats?
No, it's not about the bats, actually, but we can talk about the sound
bats. I want to know that because, so for you guys listening, Priyanka texted me. She's like, oh my God, you have to do this with me. And I was like, what the hell is this? And it was some kind of a cold bath. I don't know what it is.
It's not a cold bath, Sean. It's a sound bath.
Oh, a sound bath.
Yeah,
I'm like, what the hell is a sound bath? And then I said, I'm going to Google the crap out of that when I get home. And I never did. I forgot.
I figured. So do you know Tibetan sound bowls? Those bowls
No, I know nothing.
Oh, wow. Sean, oh my gosh. I am so sorry that life has been so hard up until this point. That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
It's passing me by as we speak.
Tibetan sound bowls, they're these bowls that you bang and they emit this sound. And the frequency of the sound can actually calm your nervous system.
Oh, God, I need to get this.
And so they have different types of like sound bowl meditations where you bang different types of bowls, or they have crystal bowls. You kind of rub them in this way and then they make this like noise, and it's very calming.
It's like a tuning fork.
Yeah. Think of it like a tuning fork, except it's a bowl that's doing this instead of a tuning fork.
And it sounds like a better way to wake up in the morning. Like
peaceful. Yes. They actually make meditation clocks that sound like that. But
wait a minute. How open are you to coming over every morning and waking me up like that?
You know what, Sean? For the right price, I'll do whatever you want me to.
that's interesting. Everybody's got a number.
No, but a sound bath, imagine like a symphony of this where you have many, many bowls. And the idea is that the sound is so overwhelming that you literally bathe your entire body with these vibrational forces that are emitted by the sounds. And I have done these before.
So you're not submerged in water or anything?
No, it has not. You're completely dry. This has nothing to do with getting wet, unless you're just wet with music all over you. And it can be a very calming experience. I've never had anyone say like they hated it or something like that. It's really soothing. So
and so you did this last week?
I'm going to do it this weekend, but I've done these before. I've actually done, it was called a Tibetan sound bowl massage, where they actually put the bowls up and down your spine and then they bang them. And the vibration of the sound is apparently supposed to like clear your chakras or something.
But it sounds better than a Tibetan bowel
movement
massage.
Yes, it's definitely, you won't poop in this.
No.
I thought of you because of the time you were like, oh, I think if I wasn't an actor, I would have, you know, become a symphony orchestra person. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You really liked music. And so,
look, I'm sold. This sounds really cool. I might just try this. I'm writing
okay.
it down.
Sound bath meditation or just a sound bath.
Yeah.
It's very soothing. To be continued.
What was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
I recently discovered a new type of psychotherapy. It's called equine-assisted psychotherapy.
Okay, you're all over the map. Okay, equine, yeah. I'm writing this down too. Equine what?
Equine-assisted psychotherapy. It's basically therapy with horses.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you're going to ride a horse, equine.
Yeah, no, you don't actually even ride the horse. You actually just
listen to the horse through sound waves.
No, there's no sound. There's no communication because this is all nonverbal. But to be very honest, I spent 20 minutes with this horse. It was equal to like 6 months of talk therapy. I mean,
really?
It was really
what
profound.
Do you do with the horse? Does the horse talk to you?
The thing about interacting with horses, it's all nonverbal energetic communication,
it's
right?
Like a dog, but I do the same thing with my dog.
It's like a dog, but I guess horses are better for this
larger.
In terms of therapy. They literally have a bigger heart. Their hearts are larger, and so there's more electromagnetic resonance from the heart. And anyways, so you go in with whatever kind of thing you want to work on. Like I went in with like, oh, I want to be better at setting boundaries, right? And saying no. And so—
Oh, that's good for you.
Yeah. So I'm interacting with this horse. And when the horse approached me, I didn't speak, but I had to energetically kind of send this message in my body to the horse, like, stay, like, this is the boundary. And to be honest, for someone who like may not have experience with that, talk therapy can only go so far at the level of the head. You have to experience it energetically, what it feels like to actually energetically have the boundary. And so I thought it was a very profound experience for me.
So did the horse listen to your telepathic messages?
Initially it didn't. It came close to me. And so I asked the facilitator, I was like, what do I do? It's not understanding. And then he sort of was like, I was like, show me how you set a boundary energetically. And so then he sort of showed me what he did with his body, even though he didn't talk much. It's something that you kind of have to experience. You can't really verbalize it. And so after I saw the energy that he put out with the horse to set that boundary and later saw this horse respecting that boundary, then I tried to mimic it. I tried to kind of do the same thing. And of course, the first time I did it, it was kind of awkward, right? Like a kid sort of figuring it out.
Yeah.
But then I kept sort of practicing it until eventually it got to the point where that horse did really respect the boundary with me and kept the distance exactly where I wanted the distance to be kept. And then when I wanted to invite the horse into the boundary, it came with that invitation. Mm-hmm. And so it was really powerful. It was a powerful experience.
I get that from you about the boundaries things. I feel when you want me to come closer to you and when you want me to run away from you.
What's interesting about horses, they're prey animals. So their whole world is about being as safe as possible. Mm-hmm. So whatever they give you energetically, it has literally nothing to do with you and everything to do with their conception of safety.
Yeah.
So if you're doing something that doesn't make them feel safe, they will get away from you.
That's
right. And how you deal with that, do you turn it into a big story? Like, oh, he doesn't like me, or like, oh, there's all this drama.
Yeah,
or no, it has nothing to do with you. See how much we can learn from the animals?
I mean, it's just
really wonderful.
Speaking of animals, we have a wonderful guest on today.
Kevin Nealon. Funny.
Oh my God. He's a good friend of mine. We laugh together so hard. We just had dinner in New York, me and Kevin Nealon and his beautiful, gorgeous, amazing wife, Susan and Scotty. It was so fun. But anyway, he's coming up.
I can't wait. Yeah.
But we're going to go to our new thing, which is so exciting to me. We're going to listen to our caller. Her name is Nicole. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Sean and Priyanka. This is Nicole. I'm calling to talk about how I had a meningioma brain tumor with Dr. Gupta on recently. I thought it would be an interesting topic. I had what I thought was chronic sinus infections, and my doctor kept putting me on antibiotics over and over again until I finally begged my primary care physician for a MRI or CAT scan. She didn't want to step on my ENT's feet, so to say, and put that I had headaches and sent me for an MRI. And that is when they found I had a meningioma brain tumor sitting on my right ear bones. Luckily, that was in December of 2019. They wanted to take it out in April of 2020. I begged them to get me in sooner, and I was luckily pushed up to February 2020, which was a blessing since COVID happened a month later, and I may have been put on a watch list. My meningioma was the size of a small lime, and they were afraid if it kept growing, it may have broken my ear bones, and I may have went deaf.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Definitely, I'm glad that it's out, and I have had no sinus infection since, which is kind of funny since I've had them for almost 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
wow.
It's definitely a blessing.
Oh, my
gosh. Thank you for your show. I love it. And have a great day. Bye.
Oh, that's it's such a bummer that, we can't interact with them because I have 10,000 questions.
Right?
So Priyanka, that must have been benign then, yes?
Yeah, so meningioma, it's the most common primary brain tumor and most are benign. So we're sort of assuming.
I'm so glad she's okay.
Wow, what a story.
Isn't that so interesting that people know their bodies more than doctors? No offense.
Yes, yes. And I say this all the time to my patients that, look, I've studied the books. I've, you know, taking the tests, but I'm not living in your body. You know your body better than me. So, you know, listen to your patients, right? And if you're having recurring sinus infections again and again and again, it's really important to look at a root cause or to look a little bit deeper. And while this situation is exceedingly rare, I mean, I actually have never heard a story like this, but it's totally possible. And boy, oh boy, is she lucky. Is she lucky?
How great that she's like, you know what? Because I do think people, like patients of doctors, you know, they don't want to disrespect them in their eyes. They want to take care of their feelings. So they're like, oh, well, my doctor said this, that, and the other. No, if you're feeling like something else is up, take care of yourself, right?
I know.
Right?
Well, I mean, I think this goes back to a bigger issue in the medical system where doctors from even on our training, you know, we're taught to sort of suppress our feelings to survive the medical training. And so obviously that's going to bleed into later how patients are treated, right? Like if the patient's feelings are ignored or they're sort of told that, you know, it's not really that big of a problem, where's that really coming from? I mean, that's coming from the culture that the doctors were trained in too.
Right.
And so one of the things I think needs to change in medicine is that we need to understand feelings matter.
Yeah.
Feelings matter.
Okay, so that's interesting. Wow.
Well, one more thing I just want to say about her story. She's very lucky and I'm really glad that she was able to get the surgery on time before we went into lockdown.
Yes, for sure. All of that. I'm so happy it all worked out for you, Nicole. And if anybody else has a great story you want to share with us, please call us at 323-529-6031. Again, 323-529-6031. And we might choose your message to play in an episode.
We are supported by Helix. So I recently received my Helix mattress, and honestly, it's a huge upgrade over what I used to have. And first of all, the delivery and setting up, it was so easy.
So fast.
Yeah, I'm just really enjoying the whole Helix experience.
Yeah, I sleep like a baby.
And everyone's unique, and Helix knows that. So they have several different mattress models to choose from, soft, medium, firm, and it's great. You know, their mattresses are great for cooling down if you tend to sleep hot. So what you do is, if you're looking for a mattress, you take a quiz and you order the mattress that you're matched to, and then the mattress just comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't have to go to the mattress store ever again. Helix was actually awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 and by GQ and Wired magazine. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete, and it matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. So I took the Helix quiz, and I was matched with the Midnight Lux mattress, and it's really great for my body type and the way I sleep. Just go to helixsleep.com/hypo, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but I think you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/hypo.
We are supported by Embark. Did you know that 72% of people don't know what kind of dog they have? I don't understand that. I'm one of those people, so I guess I do understand it. Now I can decode my dog story with an Embark dog DNA test. What do you wish your dog could explain? This could be the reason why you decided to get your dog DNA tested with Embark. For me, I have a dog named Ricky. He's the cutest golden doodle ever. He's gigantic. So I love him. So I gave him the little swab in his mouth. He's like, what is this? Do I eat it? I'm like, no, I'm just getting your spit. So I got his spit, put it in the little thing, sent it off super, super easy, came back just as I suspected. Ricky's 50% golden retriever, 41.7% standard poodle, and 8.3% small poodle or something like that.
Aww.
And yeah, and there's a little T-Rex in there too, I'm saying. It's so cool to know that because now I can go to the vet and have all this knowledge and be educated about my own dog who's like a family member. So there's a couple other things that came up that we should watch out for but not be concerned about yet. But it's good to know to have in your back pocket when you talk to the vet. It's really, really convenient. So what did you discover about your dog when you used Embark? Were you surprised by the breed results? Share the excitement around discovering and understanding your pup and how Embark has helped you see one new thing about your dog. Learn your dog's inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Right now, Embark has an offer on their breed and health kit for our listeners. Go to embarkvet.com to get free shipping and save $50 off your Embark breed and health kit with promo code HYPO. Visit embarkvet.com and use promo code HYPO to save $50 today. Okay, you know our guest today from his 9 years on Saturday Night Live, from many a movie with Adam Sandler, and from TV shows like Weeds and Man with a Plan. You may also know his YouTube show Hiking with Kevin, which I had the honor of being on. My very good friend who makes me laugh very, very hard, and I love him very, very much. Please welcome Mr. Kevin Nealon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Kevin, thanks, we just ran out of time.
I'm sorry, but man, we had some good memories from this podcast. Remember my intro?
This is Priyanka. Kevin, Priyanka. Priyanka, Kevin.
Priyanka.
Nice to meet you, Kevin.
Nice to meet you.
So, Kev, I was on your Hiking with Kevin, which is literally, it's in the title. We just went on a hike and you filmed it. And it's so funny. How many have you done?
I've done about 90.
Are you serious?
Yeah, only 2 were usable. You were in the garbage bin.
I got it. I got it. I was gonna say 90 episodes. So 1 for every year you've been born.
Yeah. No, so I've done about 90, and yeah, yours was fun. I was so excited to do yours. We did yours in Griffith Park.
That's right.
It's funny. I remember every trail and who I've hiked with on that trail.
That's amazing. And I spent a lot of time on that hike watching you assemble your, what's it called?
The drone.
The drone, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think so far we both have our memories intact. So that's good.
So no Alzheimer's here. So wait, Kev, Hiking with Kevin, are you going to do more episodes? Like, is there seasons or what's going on? It's such a great show and you have so many great people on there.
Thank you. Yeah, there will be seasons. I've done 3 already. I've done, like I said, about 90 hikes. You know, the pandemic kind of threw things off course there. So yeah. I'm going to start again soon. And the weather is perfect because I don't like hiking when it's too hot. But in the meantime, I've been sidetracked by another project. I have a book that I have a deadline for in the next month or so.
What's it called?
It's called I Exaggerate, My Brushes with Fame. It's about my caricature paintings and stories to go with each one.
Oh, that's great. That's Bianca, cool. Just so you know, Kevin is an unbelievably brilliant artist.
Oh, that's
like,
crazy. Cool.
No,
crazy
it really good. Is true. So you see this thing, like you can, Kev, can you turn your camera so we can see some of those drawings?
Is that
some
Chris them, Farley?
Chris Farley, yeah. Is Letterman, oh. Letterman. Tom Petty.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
wow.
They're so cool. Them.
That so, is really yeah. neat.
Mine is coming. Mine's forthcoming.
I got a book deal with Abrams, and it's going to be about 45 to 50 paintings with an anecdote next to each one about how I know that person or some interesting, encounter I had with them.
That's so great. I love it. So I don't have to buy one. You'll send me that.
I'm going to send you the book, and I want you to promote it on social media. I get so many books that people write, and they want me to promote it or write forwards or blurbs. So I have a whole catalog.
Tell me about your comedy tour. Are you just finished, or you're just starting? You're in the middle?
No,
where are
I'm
you?
In the middle of it. You know, I won't even say it's a middle because it's ongoing. It's for the next 2 years, and then I'm retiring. This is my farewell tour for 2 years.
Really?
You and Cher.
Yeah, Cher is actually my opener.
Okay, great. Remember, she had like 17 farewell tours.
I know it.
That's but, true. Gimmick.
Garth Brooks, too.
So let's get into it. I want to know about your prostate exam. Get up in there.
Only if you want to talk about it, right?
Well, let me talk about that as Will Arnett. You know, let's get boots on the ground. Yeah. Let's get boots on the ground, huh? I mean, how many people haven't had a prostate exam? You know?
Wait, is this a regular colonoscopy? Is that what it
no,
is?
No. I've had many colonoscopies. So a prostate exam, you get one usually when you go in for a physical, and I'm really up on that. I go every year.
Yeah. Okay.
And the doctor puts the rubber gloves on. That's when you know the excitement's about to happen.
but wait a minute, though, because digital rectal exams are very low sensitivity for screening for prostate cancer. I mean, nowadays they actually advise against doing DREs to screen for it. So what exactly happened? Was this like a routine digital rectal, or did you get a PSA test, or how did this all start?
Well, I get a digital rectal exam every physical. Just for a general overview.
Okay.
And general
for
pleasure.
For shits and giggles?
I encourage it every
visit. Okay.
You get
it.
One when you go for a Starbucks run, too, sometimes.
I do order ahead for the index check, yeah.
That's really funny.
He's feeling up in there, and he's squeezing it.
Oh, God.
And then I said, same as always, because always been small, he said. And it's always been a low PSA, like 0.2, 0.3. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So he goes, I felt a little bit of a nodule about the size of a pea.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he gave me the name of a urologist to go to. And, you know, now I'm starting to get my will together.
But let me just stop. Maybe it was a pee. Maybe it was an actual pee.
You know what? I did have pees a couple nights ago.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was laughing and I snorted one. So that might be where it went.
That's where. Kevin, did you end up doing a biopsy?
Well, this was only yesterday. So I went to the urologist yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And there's a lot of old guys in there. And then me. So, yeah, a lot of old guys. And I go in there and, you know, the guy comes in first with the, they put the jelly over your bladder and they do the, what do they call it? The ultrasound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Luckily, there was no baby. And he did his work.
I was going to say, sometimes I use peanut butter instead of the jelly on there. Yeah, other things come up. Yeah, go ahead.
So he took all the pictures of it, and he said it looks pretty good. And, you know, they can't say what it looks like because they probably don't know. So he's got all those black and white ultrasounds sitting on there. And then the doctor comes in. He goes, what's going on? And I told him. And he said, he asked me about my PSA count. He asked me if there's any prostate cancer in my history and my family. And no, mm-hmm. no. And, you know, everywhere you look, there's like prostate cancer signs and, checking for prostate cancer. So
it's the most common type of cancer amongst people that have prostates worldwide. So, yeah.
So I didn't know if my doctor knew something he wasn't telling me. He sent me right to this prostate cancer specialist guy, you know?
Okay.
So I'm very suspicious. And I get in there and I'm telling myself it's nothing. So he does the rectal exam again. That's 2 days in a row for a prostate exam, digital, mm-hmm. Up the butt.
Yeah.
But this guy was a pro. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. What, did he have long fingers or something?
No, no.
Like, what?
I stood up for this one.
I stood up. And you guys started dating recently.
No, we've been dating before that. So I wasn't surprised by any
of
the movements.
This was in his bedroom that this happened.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But anyway, you know, he does it. And as soon as he pulls out, I go, so did you find it? He goes, yep. I got to give your doctor credit. I'm very impressed with him, you know, a GP finding that. Basically, he said the prostate, you know, my prostate is enlarged. So that's why I'm getting up to pee like 15 times a night.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's why I look so tired right now. Mm. And hang on, I got to go to the bathroom. Be right back. So he gave me two prescriptions to help not get up so many times. But I find what works the best not getting up is getting one of those urine bottles and just peeing in the side of the bed.
Yeah, or just pee in your bed, yeah.
It's all sexy, no matter how you look at it. And so he said 9 out of 10 times, these are not cancerous. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but to be on the safe side, we'll do an MRI.
Okay.
So next week I'm going to get an MRI and then followed up a week later by biopsy.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's nothing.
He explained to me how the biopsy is done. I got to do a fleet enema beforehand for both. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they numb you up and then they go in and they take a little biopsy from that pee.
Yep.
But, you know, he told me also they get enlarged as you hit your 50s and 60s. It's very common for men to get enlarged prostates, and you get these little pee nodules and you get these cysts. So, you know, 9 out of 10, it's kind of common. I WhatsApped a friend of mine that lives in Germany now because I remember he had some kind of prostate thing. He goes, yeah, I had one of those pee nodules about 6 years ago. They didn't do any biopsy or anything. They just said keep an eye on it, see if it gets bigger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But wait, what made you want to, was there like a symptom that you were having that made you want to go get it checked? Like, how did you know to get it checked?
Well, no. I got a physical. I get a physical
every
year. Oh,
just regular physical.
Yeah, okay, every year you get a digital rectal exam.
I see, got it.
Yeah.
Sean, do you not get a physical every year?
I don't. I should.
You should at least get a rectal exam.
Yeah. Scotty?
Oh, he's Scotty. Doing those. No problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the reason people live so long now is because they stay on top of medicine and they, you know, listen to science and they get the procedures done. And if you have insurance, I mean, you know, guys and girls are living to be quite old now because they're checking things before it happens. You know, they're getting it early.
I know. Well, now I'm going to go get an exam. Yeah.
You need a colonoscopy, too.
I got one because I'm a freak. I'm a hypochondriac, hence the title of the show. And I got one like 5 years ago because I was like, I'm not waiting until I'm 50. I got to, like, you know.
Yeah, you should go every couple of years.
Yeah, you should. Don't tell me what to do.
You should.
All right. Settle down, both of you.
No, you. Hang on. Wait, the FedEx guy's here. I got to get it or Susan will kill me.
Oh, get it. Go.
Can I get it? Okay, two seconds.
Well, wait.
Okay.
She said, remember, if he comes, you got to get it.
Hang on. Go get it.
He's leaving.
It.
Wait.
Did you get the package?
I got the package. It's the fleet enemas that I ordered for my colonoscopy. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then does that package self-destruct in 5 seconds if you don't agree to use it?
No, but I might.
Okay, so wait. So you went to the thing. He noticed it right away just by feeling. And that's how you know. Okay, great. Got it.
I just want to recognize that it is really hard to kind of identify or detect a nodule based off of just the digital rectal exam. So, you know, a lot of times, sometimes the fingers they can't reach that far. You know, there's a lot of factors in sort of the doing of the digital rectal that can make it harder to yield results. So I think it's really fortunate that this was caught through this way because your PSA still continues to be low.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, the doctor has the very long latex fingernails too, you know. That he wears. So it's a little painful going in there.
You'd think he'd cut them. He'd cut them beforehand, but I guess not. Wait, so let's move on to the other thing. I hear it's peripheral neuropathy. What is that and what?
Yeah,
and tell
so
us everything.
Kevin, you have peripheral neuropathy, huh?
Yes. It's what do you call it? Antipathy? where they don't know what causes it.
Oh, idiopathic?
Idiopathic. That's
right. Oh, interesting. Okay, so let's talk about that. How long have you been having that?
Well, it's an evolving thing. It's by the way, my advice is for everyone to avoid their 60s.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
I'm writing that down.
I tell people
that too. Generation.
Yeah.
I wrote sound bath down, equine something, and then avoid 60. Got it.
Got it. Good.
This episode is supported by Noom. Hey guys, you know, learning to manage daily stress and anxiety thoughts is something we all want, but many of us don't know where to even begin, you know? Noom Mood is here to guide you to mental wellness and give you the tools you need to tackle stress so you'll feel empowered to take on whatever life throws at you. I'm a huge believer in Noom Weight, and I'm so excited to try Noom Mood. With Noom Mood, you'll take the journey to mental wellness one step at a time. Their guided approach teaches you the power of shifting your mindset in just a few minutes a day. With a team of dedicated coaches, you'll have a support system helping you on your journey. It provides you with a variety of tools and techniques to try out. Noom Mood holds your hand with daily curriculum coupled with a one-on-one coach that guides and encourages you on your journey. Accessible and convenient, and it's only 10 minutes a day. You can do whenever, wherever you are. It's so great. It's so convenient. You're stronger than your stress, okay? It doesn't get to control you. Equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to steer yourself to happiness. One size does not fit all. You can navigate the program at your own pace, and you'll also have the support of a coach along the way. It's a win-win. With Noom Mood, taking care of your mental wellness is empowering. They'll help you better understand your personal relationship with stress and anxiety thoughts so you can take control, build resilience, and develop coping mechanisms that actually work. Worry less and feel happier. Sign up for your trial at noom.com/actor. That's noom.com/actor to start your trial today.
This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack. So Monk Pack makes snacks that taste like your favorite sugary treats, but with 1 gram of sugar or less. Can you believe that?
I love it. I eat them all the time. Healthy snacks have a bad reputation, right? And let's be honest, most don't taste very good. They fill you up and they certainly don't satisfy your craving.
But here's the thing. Monk Pack's stuff, it's gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, non-GMO, no soy, trans fat, sugar alcohols, or high-intensity sweeteners, which I love that.
I love it too. They are a perfect snack for anyone who's trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste.
Absolutely. I was talking to my mom the other day and she totally eats them at work. I mean, she's a busy practicing physician. She totally eats them. It's wild. I love it.
You know, I eat the sea salt caramel ones. I mean, it tastes like a candy bar.
I know.
I can't believe this is happening to me where this bar that I love so much has 1 gram of sugar.
It's wild. And they have all these delicious flavors like coconut cocoa chip, peanut butter, blueberry, almond, vanilla. So try it for yourself and you'll see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code HYPO at checkout.
And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whatever you prefer.
So to get started, just go to munkpack.com and select any product and enter the code HYPO at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious food you can count on. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
So, okay, the peripheral neuropathy, it starts slowly. It started near the balls of my feet. They were a little numb.
Okay.
And then it got a little more progressive. It went to the sides. And then I went to the doctor and he said, you know, go to this neurologist. So I did some tests and she said, and we did blood work. There was nothing related to diabetes or Parkinson's or anything. It was just idiopathic. So it's gradually been increasing and working up my shins a little bit. I don't get the pain. It's just numbness. And the other day I ran on stage and I tripped. Because of the numbness.
Oh my God,
no way. I slid on stage. Yeah, I slid on stage in front of the audience.
Oh God.
And what I did was I was embarrassed, so I pretended it was part of my gig and I crawled all the way to the rest. I slid along my stomach to the chair and then I pulled myself up.
My goodness.
And what did you say? What was the joke?
I said, I'm so clumsy. I am so clumsy. I'm so tired. I'm not sleeping at night because I get up to pee like 5-6 times a night.
I know.
Right into the peeing bit.
Okay.
So, oh, wow. There's so many questions I have. So you had a comprehensive workup for the causes. So they ruled out like a B12 deficiency. They ruled out.
Well, first of all, the B12 is very interesting because my doctor mentioned that the other day. Sean, listen to this.
Yeah.
He said, are you taking B12? I say, I take B complex, which I think has some B12 in it. But sometimes your body, correct me if I'm not correct, does not absorb the B12.
Correct. There can sometimes be reasons like autoimmune issues that can lead to impaired B12 absorption. When it comes to B-complex, there's another thing that you want to think about, especially in the context of peripheral neuropathy. B6, also known as pyridoxine, tends to be in these B-complex vitamins. And B6 toxicity, high levels of B6, can actually lead to peripheral neuropathy symptoms. I've diagnosed a few patients with B6 toxicity. So one of the things that you want to do is also check your B6 levels to make sure they're not too high. And if they are, actually, you want to stop taking the B6 because that can actually worsen neuropathy.
So, Kevin, I want you to repeat every single thing she just said.
Oh, sorry. I can say it much, much slower.
No, I love it.
I know exactly what she said because it pertains to me. If it were pertaining to you, I wouldn't have been listening.
You would have checked out.
I mean, I've tried everything. I even went to acupuncture for 4 months.
Sure,
and
sure.
And tried that. Because it's irritated nerves, isn't it, in your legs?
There's, for some reason, the nerve signals are continuously firing, for whether it's a metabolic cause or nutritional cause, or it's environmental toxins can also do this. I don't know if you've ever been tested for heavy metals like mercury poisoning or chronic arsenic toxicity. I mean, it's like really very low likelihood that you would be exposed to those things, but that's also something you want to think about, right?
Kevin's a huge fan of heavy metal, aren't you?
I actually am. Yeah. So as the pathways are interrupted, right? Maybe the house I'm living in has bad reception. Like I'm with Verizon and it's not good reception. Maybe my pathways are also interrupted by bad reception here.
It just comes down to a 5G issue. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Check that. I would start there. That seems to be most important.
And you said you got screened for diabetes. So your HbA1c was stone cold normal or was there?
Yeah. Very low blood sugar is great.
Blood sugar.
It's amazing too, because I'm such a sugarholic. I eat so much sugar cookies. I mean, I can't, even online when they go accept cookies, I go, yeah, of course I accept cookies.
Right.
Kev, you also suffer from AFib. Like I do, not suffer, but you know, you have it.
Tortured.
And what was your first experience like? What did you think was happening? You thought you were having a heart attack.
I didn't know what it was. It felt like it was on the surface of my skin.
Wow. How long ago?
This was like 20 years ago. I first met Susan and we were going to Mexico. And, you know, I'm trying to show her how active and young I am because there's an 18-year difference. Uh-huh. So I'm running around and playing golf. I'm swimming. I'm taking short naps throughout the week, you know. And
It's so sexy.
Oh, God.
And then the day before we're going to leave, I jump in the pool. We're playing around. I get out. As I'm walking to the chaise lounge, I feel it in my chest. It's going like... Like a cat purring. And I thought, that's weird. Anyway, long story short, I ended up in a Mexican emergency room.
Oh.
You mean la emergencia, to be correct?
Sí.
Yeah. And do you take stuff for it now, or is it under control?
No, I had an ablation. I had an ablation about six years ago.
That's right.
So I don't technically have it anymore, although it could come back.
Yeah.
Okay. I get tachycardiac. Every like once in a while, where your heart goes really fast, like six seconds, then it stops.
Sure.
But that's not threatening. But I tell you, I was getting it a lot. I was going irregular heartbeat.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about it on the show before because I went through it many times.
A lot of people have it.
Yeah,
some people have it. They don't know. Some people don't even know they have it.
They don't even know, right?
This is true. So nowadays, when you get tachycardic, can you kind of tell what situations bring on the tachycardia, or is it pretty random for you?
I think it's stress and it's being tired and maybe too much caffeine.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
But I could be wrong. I don't know if that causes it, but for me, maybe that might be the...
Listen, next time you get a finger up your ass for the prostate exam, ask him to go a little further and touch the heart and see if you can see what's going on up there.
It is very common. It's the most common cardiac arrhythmia, so...
And it's funny, I never heard of it growing up. I thought when somebody was in AFib, they were having a heart attack.
Yeah, I thought so too, yeah.
I was going to say, it's not AFib that can kill you. It's the blood clot if you let it go too long.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the whole risk, the blood clots and strokes. So were you on blood thinners for a period of time?
I was. In fact, I did a commercial with Arnold Palmer for a blood thinner.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you could only do the commercial if you were on the blood thinner.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Let's play our game. You want to play our game?
Okay, let's play the game. Okay, Kevin, we're going to play the game now. It's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. The way it works is you each get three questions to answer. If you don't know, I'll give you some points for creativity. Sean's going to go up first with the first three questions.
Yeah,
okay. There
we go.
Sean, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, first question. Acetylsalicylic acid is the generic name for what common drug that comes from trees? Acetylsalicylic acid.
It's a lot of S's. Maple syrup. I don't know.
That is incorrect. Acetylsalicylic acid, aspirin. Aspirin comes from trees.
Wait, aspirin comes from trees?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the bark of the willow tree.
We have five aspirin trees in our backyard.
Do you really?
Yeah, there's aspirins growing on them right now. We're going to pick them later today.
It actually comes from the bark of the tree.
Then can you just lick the bark instead of buying Bayer?
I mean, traditionally before pharmaceuticals, the indigenous tribes would use the bark and boil it into a tea and drink the tea. Yeah,
no
really
way.
Cool.
Who knew?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Okay.
Okay, second question. What was the first music video played on MTV?
Oh, is that Video Killed the Radio Star?
Yes, that is correct.
How about that? Crazy.
That was in 1981. Third question. In the television show Will and Grace, you may be familiar. What is your character Jack's middle name?
Oh, God. I have no idea. No, I know his real name is John, but everybody called him Jack. But I have no... What the hell is his middle name? No idea.
This is hilarious. It was Philip. In fact...
That's news to me.
Yeah. Bonus question. What is going on during the scene where we find out Jack's middle name?
Oh, well, come on. If I don't know his middle name.
Answer. Jack's full name was used when he married Rosario. The minister used his full name when he asked if he took Rosario as his bride.
That's hilarious. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Kevin, you're up. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. First question. What is the medical term for a fertilized human egg?
True.
Okay, half the medical point for term, creativity.
Medical term for fertilized
human egg.
IVF.
That is incorrect. It is called a zygote. So.
Oh, a zygote. That's right.
Oh, a zygote. We have those in our backyard.
Oh, really?
We get cheese from them.
Yeah. So zygote is the union of fertilization of the egg with a sperm. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm going to always remember that.
Okay.
That's right.
Next question. In the original Gilligan's Island theme song, the original song, which two characters were originally referred to as, quote, and the rest?
Okay. It wasn't the skipper. It wasn't Gilligan. Probably Marianne and the Professor.
That is correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Very nice.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Three, in season five of the TV show Weeds, your character Doug goes to his friend Dean for help getting stolen pot back. Dean says he will help on one condition. What does Dean do to Doug in exchange for helping?
First of all, I'm trying to remember who Dean is. Can you just run that by me again real quick?
Yeah,
so your character Doug goes to his friend Dean for help getting stolen pot back. Dean says he will help on one condition. What does Dean do to Doug in exchange for helping?
What does Dean do to Doug?
Yes.
In exchange for helping?
Prostate exam.
I'll give you a hint. He does something to Doug's body.
Oh, massage.
That is incorrect. Dean slams Doug's penis in a drawer.
Oh, that's right. How could I forget that?
Yeah.
10 years later, I have prostate problems.
Oh, man. Do you want to do a bonus question? How does Doug get back at Dean later in the season when Dean needs help? Oh my God.
I know you didn't come up with these questions.
No, I did not.
I think Scotty came up with these. I think maybe I get back at him by, I have no idea.
Yeah, to help Dean, Doug makes him dip his balls in a cup of hot coffee.
There you go.
Do you remember that?
I gotta watch this show. Yeah, it sounds really funny.
I gotta check out the show. By the way, true actor fashion, neither of us answered anything that we knew about our characters.
I don't even remember the names of my characters from different shows.
I don't either.
That is hilarious.
You say it was Doug, huh?
Yes, apparently. So
you played
wait
Doug
a minute.
On Weeds.
This episode, can you believe it? I actually think, Sean, you got one question, Video Killed the Radio Star, and Kevin, you got Professor and Marianne. So actually, we have a tie, okay? We're doing tiebreaker round. So tiebreaker round, first person to answer correctly or close enough wins, okay? So are you ready, both of you?
Yes. Did I win?
So
that was the question.
All right, here's the question. The dog Rin Tin Tin had made 16 films by... let's try it one more time. Okay. The dog, Rin Tin Tin, had made 16 films by 1927. What kind of dog breed was he?
German Shepherd.
That is correct. Oh,
Kevin
gosh.
Has Dang answered it. Correctly.
Sean, Kevin. I always hear you say that phrase. I was just going to say.
I was just going to say. Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin, congratulations. You are in Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame.
Yeah, look at that.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you for being on the show, my friend. You are a gem of a human being.
Yes.
I love you very much.
Ask me where I'm going now.
Where are you going now? Probably the doctor's.
I'm going to an orthopedist to have my knee MRI'd.
Jesus,
God.
Oh, wow.
God. Okay.
Welcome to the 60s.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the 60s.
Good luck figuring out all the stuff. Feel free to call my office if I can help in any way, but you're definitely well supported.
Yeah.
I have some research here that you've given me that I'm going to follow up on.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that.
Let me know how it all goes, and I'm being totally serious. I want to know because I have lots of things going on in my body too.
And listen, if you ever need a good ablation doctor, I've got the best.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. I was hoping you might do it.
I could do it with all the experience I've had.
Yeah.
I'm the go-to for AFib questions.
Okay, good.
Got it.
Kev, I love you very much. Please give my love to your beautiful wife, Susan, as well. I'm sure I'll see
you
guys soon. And thank you for being here today.
So nice chatting for you guys. Thanks for having me on. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, Kev.
Ciao.
That was great. He's so,
so
great.
So funny, man. All those little one-liners and quips. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, he's super, super witty
plethoric.
And super fast. Yeah,
yeah,
I love him. But you know what? Don't you kind of get a glimpse into what I'm going to be like when you talk to Kevin Nealon?
Well, not on my watch. I mean, as long as you keep me around, we'll try and turn that into your 70s instead of your 60s. You know
or
what I'm
my
saying?
80s. My
yeah,
80s.
Maybe your 80s are just like, yeah.
Right?
The thing about prostate cancer, I mean, first of all, we don't know the results. We don't know. Right. It could be nothing, right?
It's just not. Nodules are little bumps, right?
Right now, that's all we know. But the biopsy is really, you know, what tells us everything. But it's very common, but it's also a really slow-growing cancer if it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, the survival rate in over a five-year period is like 98%. Most people end up croaking from some other reason. They end up dying sooner than getting issues from the prostate cancer. But it is very common. I think one in six people who have prostates will have prostate cancer at some point. But we need more information before we start, you know.
This is making me feel like I need to get checked out.
Well, I think you certainly can. I would say there's no harm to it. And you're young enough that, you know, it would make sense if it was caught early. Most of it's usually caught before people feel stuff. So I would say that if you want to get tested for your PSA, that's a conversation with your doctor. Yeah. And again, the digital rectal exam usually doesn't catch stuff. So the fact that it got caught, I think, is pretty rare and impressive. But
when you say PSA, you mean I need to get checked out before I do a public service announcement?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
This is a PSA for PSAs, prostate-specific antigens, yes.
Priyanka, as always, it's been a joy. And to our
listeners,
thank you so much for checking us out. And don't worry, guys, be healthy. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondria Actor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Leo Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriactor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.